Bula Network, episode 93. Was that episode number exciting enough for you? I'm sorry. Oh, Randy Cantrell from Dallas, Texas in the Yellow Studio, where it is Thursday, June the 16th, 2011. And big doings in Dallas, big parade. The Dallas Mavericks, yep, they won the NBA championship. And my, the city is all glowing about it. I'm not so much an NBA fan, buddy, but hey, I'm proud they won. I watched on TV. It's 101 degrees here today. You kidding me? I'm not fighting all that traffic and going out in the heat. Huge, 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 big shindig inside the American Airlines Center. It was enormous, really enormous. Saturday, it's Boston's turn. Congratulations to the Boston Bruins. Hoisted the Stanley Cup last night. I'm happy for Bruins fans, happy for Boston. I'm not terribly pleased that there were some hooligans up in Vancouver that decided to behave poorly. I don't think it's a real reflection of Canucks fans. I don't know that it's even indicative of the citizens of Vancouver. Kind of sad to see. You always hate to see stuff like that. In fact, I'm going to admit to you, when I was watching the Dallas parade on the flat panel earlier today, I was thinking, oh, please, come on, people of Dallas, don't make the international news scene by turning cars over and burning things. And thankfully, all went well. All went well. I think a few people taken to the hospital because of heat stroke, which, that's going to happen. When I think the projected high today is 101, so at any rate, kudos to the Dallas Mavericks for the NBA championship and to the Boston Bruins and their fans for the Stanley Cup. It's rather amazing how such things can completely affect the mindset and the psychology of an entire city. I mean, come on, Dallas and Boston are not, I mean, we're not talking rinky-dink little communities here and likely affect, potentially could affect an entire state, perhaps even an entire section of the country. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I don't profess to fully understand it. I'm a guy that I don't watch until you get to the playoffs. I don't watch the NBA until you get to the World Series. Don't watch baseball. I am a hockey guy. Now, I'm a sports guy, but give me football, give me hockey. Yeah, it probably has something to do with being aggressive and a lot of contact. Well, not that there's not contact in the NBA, but or baseball, I guess, as evidenced by that catcher that got his head knocked off here within the last few weeks. I'd tell you who it is, but I can't name very many athletes outside the realm of hockey or football. But hey, that's not the subject of today's show. Today's show, here's how it's going to roll. I got three things I want to confess and talk to you about, because these are three things that over the course of some conversations, as I was trying to help some other people, I kept coming back to these things. And I'm going to be the first to tell you that these are things that I historically feel like I need. And hopefully you can derive some benefit. Surely I'm not that unique. These are things that I think are very common. More common, perhaps, for some of us than others. Well, the first one might be a little bit unique, but number two and number three, I don't think are at all. They were sparked from a conversation that I had with someone when I made a remark about the work that they do, a consultant in a real specialized field. And my remark was, you know, what you do and the service you provide is so drop dead, stupid, simple, and that makes it ridiculously powerful. Well, thankfully, the person, they took it as the compliment that it was intended to be. It wasn't really until I had uttered it that I thought, you know, like somebody could take that wrong. I meant it. He took it. Thankfully, he took it exactly as I intended. We are living in a world of just, there's little question. I mean, come on. Chaos is reigning supreme everywhere. And people, we are rather fond of embracing the notion that there are no simple answers and there are no simple explanations. Well, sometimes there are. Sometimes there are. Now, those people, those brainiacs, those people that are a lot smarter than me and maybe a lot smarter than you, I'll speak for myself. The people that are a lot smarter than me, they would want me to believe that, you know, my little puny brain, I couldn't possibly understand what's going on here. I couldn't possibly make sense of this all. Yeah, I admit sometimes they're probably right, but come on, can it all be that complex? I've been in the business world for a lot of years, and I can tell you, most things are just not all that complex. Most things are just get on with it, you know? Let's just get on with it, and let's just do it. I mean, people want to analyze things 8 ways to Sunday, and listen, I'm as guilty as the next guy. I love to look at stuff and to kind of deconstruct stuff. I love the Freakonomics books, for instance. I loved Outliers by Gladwell. Those are terrific books, and I love that. I love that stuff. There's a negative outcome of some of that stuff, though, and the negative outcome is simply this. It's the propelling of this notion that it's all complex, and sometimes it's all way above our head, and that things are never as they seem to be. I freely admit sometimes things aren't as they appear to be, but you know what? Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're exactly as they appear to be. I mean, that person that you meet for the first time and your first impression is, man, what a jerk. Sometimes, you know, that impression, it's right. It's right. Sometimes time goes on and guess what you find out? Yep. I thought they were a jerk when I first met them. You know what? They're a bigger jerk than I thought they were. And I thought they were a big jerk when I first met them. It does happen. Yes, and there are other people that we think, well, my, they're kind of cocky, aren't they? And we get to know them and realize, you know, they're not cocky at all. Oh, what does any of that prove? Well, it proves that there's not one size fits all. You can't just make these, you know, random sweeping conclusions or generalizations about things. I mean, things are, you just kind of have to judge everything individually. But here's number one. And these are some things that I believe are components of things that I felt would move me forward. And see if they don't help you. And if they do or if they don't, hey, I'd still love to hear from you. I'd like your comments. I'd like feedback from you. Number one, eliminate skepticism, cynicism, and doubt. I didn't think about these things very long, by the way. Had a conversation with this consultant, got through talking. I'd been kind of rolling some of this stuff over in my mind, and I wrote these three things down. I highlighted them in yellow. I outlined them in a hot pink box, as I am wont to do, and wrote them on a page. And I sat here and I just kept looking at them, and I kept looking at them, and I kept looking at them for, you know, the last week or so. And, of course, the first thing that struck me is, why did I use the verb eliminate? Why didn't I use the verb restrict, or why didn't I use the verb limit or reduce? No, I wrote eliminate. Are you kidding me? Like, that's possible. I mean, check that. Not only do I not believe it's possible, I don't even believe it's healthy. Eliminate skepticism, cynicism, and doubt. Now, we have the Texas State Fair here every, you know, September, October-ish. Huge, huge fair, as you can well imagine. Come on, it's Texas. Everything's big in Texas. Now, I could go to the State Fair of Texas, and I could walk down that midway, you know, where they've got all the, kind of all the carny barkers are hollering at you to come over and play their game. Be duped out of your money. I could approach every one of those and with full confidence that everything is always on the up and up, that I can trust everybody there. I hear you laughing already. You know how stupid that would be. And I would leave disappointed, and I would also leave duped. So you need a little bit of doubt. Now, for me, cynicism, skepticism, and doubt, think of them as a pyramid. Pyramids have three sides, don't they? Yeah. So you got three sides. But skepticism, cynicism, and doubt are really just three sides of the same thing, as I view it. I'm not telling you that that's technically correct. I'm just explaining my communication here. So whatever the technical definition might be of skepticism versus cynicism and doubt, I mean, it's all doubt. It may be doubt that, okay, I doubt that you are who you say you are. I doubt that you're as popular or as successful as you claim you are. I may doubt the value of this thing that you've got that you're trying to sell me. It can morph into many, many forms. But so that you don't just get the belief that I'm just this constant naysayer, because I'm not, let me explain with a few points here. First and foremost, you can't just say, well, of course you're cynical. Of course you're skeptical. Look at you. You're a dinosaur. You're old. It doesn't have anything to do with it, because here's true confession time. I remember adults telling me when I was a teenager, what makes you so skeptical? What makes you so cynical? Man, you're cynical for a young guy. I do believe that I'm just kind of wired that way. Now, my cynicism is not like, you know, one of the technical definitions I believe of cynicism is that we disparage the motives of other people. I don't really fall prey to that component of cynicism. I will disparage the motives when those motives become apparent to me. No question. The person who is out to con somebody, I don't go in immediately thinking, well, he's out to con me, or he's out to con somebody. But the minute I've got enough evidence where I have concluded, yeah, then I'm absolutely disparaging the motive for sure. But I'm not a person who's really given to evil surmising. I'm not given to just automatically thinking the worst and thinking, well, they've got a hidden agenda. My cynicism is not, well, maybe it doesn't run that deep, but it certainly isn't. That would not properly characterize my cynicism. My cynicism is, I would term it best as questioning. I might question. Now, it might only happen in my mind. In fact, most of the time, it does only happen in my mind. I might question someone's motive. Someone may say that they want to do this, that, or the other, and I might question if that's exactly true or not. I might question, is that just a surface explanation? Is there some deeper thing happening here? I'm absolutely wired that way, for sure. But this skepticism and cynicism, let's just call it doubt, because that really is what it is. It's doubt. It's doubting. That can morph over not only into how I view other people, but how I view myself. I mean, it might be very easy for me, for instance, and it may be for you too, to have doubt about your ability to do something, about your ability to pull something off, about your ability to maybe embark on some new endeavor and make that work. We've all got doubts, and we all have to fight and battle through our doubt. And so when I wrote Eliminate, it was not a conscious thing. I was just writing, and I am a man given to quantum leap kind of stuff. I'm not a man given to tweaks, not so much. And while I know that the practical reality is that not only are you not able to eliminate doubt, but it really wouldn't be healthy for us to eliminate doubt. But I do think that there are some instances where I know it negatively affects me. And I hope to be a person who can grow and develop a higher awareness so that I can be aware of those times where it does absolutely positively get in my way. Now, you would think, well, okay, you've been given to skepticism, cynicism, and doubt. Well, you obviously got taken advantage of as a small child. No. Well, you obviously have lived your, you've lived your adult life. I mean, with such a level of doubt and cynicism, you've obviously not been able to get close to many people, and you've clearly never been taken advantage of because you won't let people take advantage of you. You'd be wrong there too. Now, I'll explain how I've been taken advantage of. I've been betrayed. I've been betrayed. I've been betrayed by people that I was relatively close to. I've lost. Well, I say I've lost. I don't know that I'll ever get it back, but I've lost a lot of money through the years in trusting people. So I don't have a problem. It's not a trust issue for me. And in fact, every assessment that I have ever taken reveals a couple of them reveal common things about me, which I know to be true. One is I foster deep relationships. I'm the guy who would rather have fewer friends, but the friends I've got, they're close. And that's absolutely true. Now, I've got a lot of friends and I know a lot of people, but if you were to ask me, well, who are your close friends? That's not going to be some big, long, lengthy list. I'm not going to have to sit down and write that out. I'm going to be able to give you names off the top of my head, and it's not going to, one hand is going to catch the number because that's just how I'm wired. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just how it is. Now, my son, and I love my son, obviously, and we share many traits alike, but here's one that we're not even close. We're not even in the same universe. He has a lot of friends. And if you were to ask him, well, who are your best friends? Well, how much time do you have? Because he'll rattle off and rattle off and rattle off name after name after name after name. See, and I don't. He likes a lot of people, and he likes to be around a lot of people. I don't. I'm just telling you, and it doesn't have anything to do. I certainly don't think I'm better than anybody. It's just, and it's not a matter of being guarded. It's not a matter of doubting people. It's just I foster, and I really want, I want deeper relations. I want deeper associations. And that requires a deeper level of commitment, not only on my part, but the part of the other person. And not just everybody is willing to do that. And I don't have any problem. I mean, the people that are my closest friends, I can talk to them about most anything. And I do. But I don't do that with everybody. So you call it guarded, call it whatever you want. So it's not that. I believe it's just kind of how we're wired. So eliminate doubt. Well, what kind of doubt? Well, I want to eliminate the doubt in I'm perhaps like you in that there are times where I can kind of have a knee-jerk reaction. Can't we all do that? I mean, we may meet somebody for the first time and we may make a conclusion, and then shortly thereafter, spending just a little bit of time with that person, we realize, well, that, well, we had that wrong. Well, I'm guilty of that. Well, I want to improve on that. I don't want to be as guilty of that in the future as I have been in the past. I don't want to be guilty of the knee-jerk reaction. I want to be able to mentally kind of hold my verdict till I get further information. You know, I don't want to be so quick to drop the gavel down and pronounce sentence. You know, some things just need to take a little bit more time and thought. But also about doubting myself. And I don't suppose it's possible humanly to eliminate all doubt about yourself, doubt about what you can do. But I'm constantly wanting to overcome that. Think about the things that I can do. I've talked about it at length, and I'll continue to talk about it, about soaring with your strengths. Focus on where you're good at. Don't try to be something that you're not. That's not so hard for me, by the way. But I am just like you. There are days that I wonder, you know, I mean, there are days that I, That's the best way to put it. There are days that I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if I could pull that off. You could call that doubt. I would not describe my doubt, by the way, and I hope yours isn't either. I wouldn't describe it as being this overwhelming sensation that just floods my soul and just throws me into a pit of despair. And I hope that your doubt is not that way. And if it is, then I would strongly encourage you to find somebody. Find somebody who can help you, perhaps professionally, somebody that can help you through that maze of whatever is bogging you down. But I think it's rather commonplace for any of us to question ourselves. And to eliminate that, for me, I tell you what this number one is. Eliminate skepticism, cynicism, and doubt. It is just be in the moment and be cognizant. Be cognizant of what's happening in your brain. We've all had it happen to us. We get up in the morning, we feel pretty good, and a phone call, an email, something, just some little small something or other just completely changes our mood. It happens. The way that we can combat that is to think about it. If we just stop and think, but you know, we don't. What we do is here comes the tide, here comes this emotion, and it just kind of sweeps over us. And you know what we do? We all do the same thing. We tend to. Well, we just get on the surfboard and we ride that baby. And we ride it all day long. We ride this wave of bad karma and just feeling bad and bad mood and frustrated and whatever. And we just ride it and we ride it. And finally, it will peter out, thankfully. I mean, unless we've got some other deeper issues and perhaps we need some professional help, for most of us, it just peters out. But what if we were to just kind of like the surfer who, and I don't surf, but I've seen it. Yeah. The surfer that, okay, you see a wave coming and yeah, okay, we just sit perched on our board. The wave comes under us and it passes. And we're waiting for the next one. We're waiting for the better wave. What if we could manage our emotions like that? I mean, how cool would that be? Yep. Here it comes. Here comes this huge wave of depression and frustration and funk. Here it comes. Nah, not riding that wave. Pass. I'll let all you cats ride this wave. What if we were to do that? Wouldn't that be great? Well, for me, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to look at it more logically. I'm trying to look at it by giving it more thought instead of just going with the flow. Does that make sense? Number two, give it time. No, this isn't going to happen tomorrow. It's not like I can just, okay, I'm just going to consciously make up my mind that the next time something happens and, well, I'll give you a true story. Happened yesterday. There is a family that I know. I'm acquainted with this family. I wouldn't describe them as close friends. I wouldn't describe them as people that I have spent a lot of time with, but I know who they are. And we share something in that we're connected through church. They work and worship in a different state. Husband, wife, and three little kids. He's an evangelist and was out in California, his home state, and was traveling back to this part of the country. And tragically, they had a car accident. The wife was driving, as I understand it, and she was killed in a head-on collision. The youngest, a 3-year-old, suffered some head trauma, was due to be released from the hospital today. Everyone else is banged up, but other than the obvious, the loss of a wife and the loss of a mother, and as devastating as that is, but physically, it appears that the rest of the family is going to be fine. Well, news hit about that. It hit my phone by way of a text message, and the next thing you know, begin to see some things on Facebook and some other places. These things happen, and some of these things are more tragic than others. Well, here's a situation, and you can't help but internalize this, right? You can't help but think about your own life, and you can't help but think about you know, A, how crushed you are and how sad you are for this family, and B, how thankful you are for your circumstance. And as I got the news, I realized that, you know, about 20 feet away in another room was my wife of 33 years. This young couple, they weren't even close to sniffing 33 years. That more closely represents their age than their years together. And I don't mind telling you, oh, yeah, this wave of sadness just, I mean, here came the wave, and only the heartless person could not ride that wave. Some waves of these kinds of things are worth riding, but, you know, that wave did not represent cynicism, skepticism, or doubt. That wave represented compassion, and I think that some of these waves are worth riding. And the wave of compassion, the wave of sympathy, the way of caring. Yeah, buddy, I think we need to ride more of those waves. And so here came the wave, and I couldn't help but ride it. And I did. And I'm still riding it a little bit as I tell you the story. I mean, I cannot imagine. And thankfully, most of us cannot imagine the pain and the anguish of that tragedy to this family, and how your heart just, man, doesn't your heart just ache? I mean, you don't even have a clue who I'm talking about. And doesn't your heart just ache thinking about a mother of three small children? The youngest is three. I mean, doesn't your heart just ache for the man who suffers such a loss? Sure. And if it doesn't, then you need to check your pulse. However, life does go on. And the sad reality is that we have to pick up and we have to push through. And we've got to fight. We've got to fight these demons that would just completely destroy our lives. And so the second component that I wrote was give it time. Give it time. These things are not going to happen immediately. I'm not going to be able to look at every wave that comes my way. The wave of self-doubt, for instance, I'm not going to be able to identify it for starters. There's one of the big rubs. Can you see the wave for what it is? Surfers report that the ability to read a wave, coupled with, unless you're world-class, I suppose, coupled with your ability, knowing what you're capable of, is a big deal. And we've seen enough of these documentaries about the guys that surf the big waves and their ability to really know the limits of what they're capable of and to identify, this is the big wave. This is the wave I've been out here waiting on. And if you don't recognize it, then you miss it. But it's also possible for the person who is deluded and who believes that they're capable of something that they're really not, and they select a wave that's a monster wave. And it's a wave that could absolutely crush them. It's a wave that could kill them. And so a lot of this has to do with awareness, and I'm going to talk about that in a future cast. This whole notion of awareness and responsibility, I think there's something big to awareness. In professional sports, we often talk about the superstar as, you know, they just have a vision. We look at Jason Kidd, point guard for the Dallas Mavericks, the NBA champion, Dallas Mavericks. And you could hear commentators talk about it every game. He just sees the floor. He sees where everybody's at. He can make these ridiculous passes because he sees where the open guy is. Well, that's awareness. That's awareness, vision, awareness, all the same thing. And some of this stuff just takes time. It takes time to hone those skills. It takes time to adapt. It takes time to learn. Some things just take time. Success in your business, success in your life, some things just take time. tons of analogies, you know, pop to mind. I think of my son, and my wife and I will sometimes talk about it, and we'll use it as an illustration when we're having private conversation with folks about their, particularly about their kids and about how some kids are wired. And she'll comment about how when we got Ryan his first, probably his only pogo stick. I don't see pogo sticks much anymore, but got a pogo stick. Okay, well, fully expecting that he can just hop on this thing and master this thing. Guess what? Didn't work out that way. Of course not. I mean, come on. Something as odd and unique as a pogo stick and whatever that sensation is. I mean, you've never done this before. This is completely different, completely foreign. And because he couldn't master it, he jumped on it, fell off, may have tried it a second time, and then just threw the thing down. It was like, well, forget this. You know, I mean, if I can't just jump on this thing immediately and master it, then what's the use? Well, you can't have that attitude if you're ever going to accomplish anything. And so some things take time and they take practice and it takes a degree of failing. Am I going to be able to eliminate any doubt that I have about my own abilities? Am I going to be able to eliminate all the cynicism that I may have about other people? No. I can be cognizant of it, though, and I can be working on it, and I can give it time, and I can be purposefully, intentionally trying to improve it over time. The third one may be the biggie. Take action every day. Take action every day, and I don't mean just, well, what kind of action? I mean action about this. Action about eliminating cynicism, skepticism, and our own self-doubt, and our doubt about other people. Giving it some time, but using that time to practice, using that time to take some action to do something about it every day. I know lots of people who think that success is just something, they fully embrace this whole give it time thing, but it's as though they think it's on autopilot. Okay, well, I started a blog a year ago, and so I'm 1 year in, so I should be gaining some traction. Well, not necessarily. You may not gain any traction at all. I mean, your blog may, it still may be terrible. Nobody may care. And there's lots of reasons that people don't gain traction. And it may or may not have anything to do with the passage of time. The mere passage of time isn't going to fix everything. The fact is, yes, it does take time. But it takes more than time. It takes action. And it takes some purposeful, meaningful action every single day. I made this comment in my notes here, and I'll share it with you for whatever it's worth. I've lately kind of harped a little bit about don't quit and don't let today be the day that you quit. I learned a long, long time ago in coaching that if you can phrase something in a positive way, it tends to be more powerful than if you phrase it in a negative. Let me illustrate. What if we replaced the admonition, which is a great admonition, by the way, and we all use it. Don't quit. Don't quit starts with the word don't. There is something probably psychological that happens and some trigger of, you know, don't, because, well, we grew up as kids and guess what our parents said? Stop that. Don't do this. Don't do that. What if instead of the phrase don't quit, what if we replaced that phrase don't quit with this phrase? Keep going. Same kind of message, phrased completely differently, and probably results in a little bit different, could result, may not, but it could result in a little different mindset. Don't quit. Hear it a lot. I say it. I say it to myself. I say it to other people. But I'm now embracing what I know to be true because I learned it over 30 years ago in coaching. You don't want to get a group of kids in a locker room, for instance, and right before the big game, go out there and tell them, you know, okay, now let's be careful. Let's not do this. And let's not do, no. I mean, you never do that. If you do, you need to learn a better way. Trust me, that is not the way to coach. No, we go out there and we help them visualize positively what's going to happen. And so we encourage what we want to have happen. So if we're going to defend, for instance, and being a hockey coach, so you know, our defense, we're gonna shut these down. It's not like, now we don't want to go out there and give up a quick goal. Well, come on. I mean, you don't plant that seed. No, we tell these kids, we coach our players. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how this is going to play out. We're going to go out there and you guys are going to be tough as nails to play against. You guys are going to make it so ridiculously hard for their forwards to come into our zone with a puck and even get a quality shot off. That's what's going to happen. Well, that's a whole different mental picture. So what if we replace don't quit with keep going? And that was my asterisk underneath take action every day. Take action every day. Embrace the positive admonition. And what if we start to eliminate some of the negative, even though the negative admonition is perfectly legit, don't quit is perfectly good advice. But what if we're smarter about how we communicate with ourselves? And instead of saying don't quit, keep going. Keep doing this. Keep working it. Keep chasing it. Keep after it. Same message, but maybe more powerful. And there it is. Hey, let me give you some, let's do a little bit of housekeeping here. Let me kind of cue up the music here as we kind of wind this thing down. I did a special episode kind of asking what direction you wanted to take things. So far, the consensus and what I believe I'm going to do is exactly what kind of the consensus is. There was a fifth category that was added to the suggestion list. So here's what I plan to do, barring any fickleness on my part. These categories will represent future shows and future blog posts and videos. Personal development, entrepreneurship, social media, communication, and leadership. If you got thoughts about it, cast your votes. Send me an email or voicemail. Leave a comment if you want. I've never been big on comments. I've never been big on commenting, and I've never been big on fostering comments. In fact, the blog went for a long, long time and didn't have comments. Didn't even have comments enabled. Somebody asked me about it some months ago, and I decided, okay. Didn't change anything. In fact, the very people that suggested it didn't comment, so there's that. I don't care. But I did want to kind of start focusing some things. Quit just being such a hodgepodge. So my intention is for every show, every video, every blog post, and it may incorporate some of these, but I'm going to categorize it in one of those five. I'm going to try to make the content be one, predominantly one of those. And if it's not something in your wheelhouse and you're not interested, then that's perfectly okay. I mean, part of the objective is to save you time and to let you channel your interests where you want. I mean, I'm not crazy enough to think I'm all things to all people. I don't plan on being. And this, by the way, doesn't have anything to do with what I do. Said I'd talk a little bit about that, and I guess I'll just kind of tease it. I'm drawn more and more to the solopreneur. And most of my work, well, when I have a complete choice of the matter, and come on, who's kidding who? Anybody that says they've got complete choice over the people that they serve, well, those people are infinitely more popular than me and in much higher demand than me. But increasingly, I'm drawn to the solopreneur. I'm drawn to the person who's got deal flow and they got business happening, but it's just not, they're chasing their tail. They're chasing their tail. And they really are tired of chasing their tail, and they're experiencing, well, their growth is just stymied because they don't have some systems in place, and they don't have some of the know-how when it comes to some of the technology answers that are just so available now to small business. So increasingly, that's what I do. I would describe myself, I guess, as one friend of mine describes me, you know, kind of the consultant to the consultant. And an awful lot of the people that I help are people that are, they're consultants of some sort, solopreneurs. They may have virtual assistants. They may have people that they outsource various things to. But I'm the guy who's trying to help them build their practice, and I'm the guy who's trying to help them get to the next level in their business. So that increasingly is what goes on behind the scenes here. So Bula Network is the company name, Bula Network LLC. Bula Network is where I just kind of hold forth. So there's the story. Hey, congratulations, Boston. Hope you have a great parade on Saturday. Don't burn anything. Well, make sure it's contained if you do. Be safe. In spite of the tragedy that I reported, hug your wife, hug your husband, hug your children. And it wouldn't hurt to count your blessings. Be thankful that all is as well with you as it is. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Till next time, see ya.